You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 151 for January 15th, 2015.
Welcome back to the podcast. We love to talk about running. You actually almost made me burst out laughing right before I hit the record button because you were joking about the medal that we just earned this past weekend at the Hot Chocolate 15K in San Francisco, which we're going to end the show with talking a little bit about that. We weren't going to do a very long recap, and I think it's going to be kind of a medium-sized recap, I think.
Interesting.
What we decided medium-sized to go with. So not super long, but we did want to mention some stuff from the race. Before that, we're going to talk a little bit about taking control of your running health. And before that, we're going to talk about our weeks in training, I guess.
What about before that?
We're going to do this intro to the podcast.
Works for me.
All right. Let's kind of start off with what's going on with you.
Trying to think. Week two.
Nothing awesome. No. Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. No, week two of my Boston Marathon training going well. Got some days on the bike. Couple days of strength training. 5 days of running. I've been doing 4 pretty consistently, so I upped it by 1 day and felt okay. I don't think I'll be going for more than 5 days a week anytime soon. So, mm-hmm. So 36 miles of running. Still have like just sometimes, very rarely, just a little bit of that foot pain, but trying to be careful with that and, you know, ice and do my stretches and all that good stuff. So, and hopefully some of this other strength training, cross training will help with that. I did have, I was going to do an incline or hill workout on the treadmill, which I've mentioned before. Okay. So funny story. I think it's funny. So I was at the gym on the treadmill. And, you know, I warmed up and then I said, okay. And so I increased the incline, right? As I normally would. I was like, wow, I'm feeling great. Like, I didn't even feel that, right? Like, just no big deal. I'm like, oh, I'm just having a good day. You know, because sometimes you just have like really good runs and you're just like, that was awesome. Why can't they all be like that? And then after a certain period of time, I increased it again. And I'm like, huh, I barely even felt it. Like, I am breathing great. I'm not even struggling. This is like amazing. Like, oh, this is just, I'm like getting so like in shape just so quickly, right? And then I go to increase it again and I'm like, the incline's broken.
I figured that's where you were going.
Yeah. But so I don't know if, I mean, I had a laugh, but then part of me is like, well, that's kind of sad. I didn't even realize that the incline was broken. Like, I didn't even feel it. I mean, you know, like, there was a reason I didn't feel it. It's because it didn't move, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Did the display move or you didn't pay attention?
No, the display moved.
Okay.
It just didn't go up. Yeah. Yeah. So, so that was my awesome incline workout on the treadmill.
Killed it.
Yeah. Killed it. One thing that was kind of interesting, you know, I do go to the gym a couple times a week and with the new year, I thought that it'd be bombarded again and packed.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I haven't really seen a difference, although I go in the morning. So I don't know if it's busier in the evening, possibly. You know, after people get out of work or school mm-hmm. or that sort of thing. But in the morning, it hasn't really changed at all. So, because I was kind of preparing for it. Like, okay, there's going to be less parking. But no real change with that. So,
okay.
Usually first of the year or second of the year, I guess, is, you know, when a lot of people are trying to get fit and lose weight and that sort of thing. So,
yeah. No, I used to notice that back in the day when I did have a gym membership that January was always, I actually almost dreaded going to the gym in January
yeah.
because it was so much busier than the other 11 months of the year. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Yep. And then did a 12-mile long run on the weekend. Felt pretty good. Pretty good pace. I think my legs ended up being a little bit tired the next day, which was actually the day of the Hot Chocolate 15K. But that's okay. My focus was more on the 12-miler versus the Hot Chocolate 15K. So, mm-hmm. yeah. What else did I want to say? I think I mentioned week two of the Boston training plan or my Boston training plan. Uh-huh. It's not the Boston training plan.
It's not
plan.
The same one everybody in the country
No, no. It's okay. Mine. And then along the lines of that, Adidas actually has their, what do I want to say? Like their
official
marathon.
Gear.
Yeah. Their official gear or apparel mm-hmm. for the race up on their site. So I've been perusing that like almost daily.
Drooling
you know,
over.
Yeah, like looking at it from different angles, you know, all the different pictures they have and trying to do some calculations like, well, if I get that jacket and maybe that shirt. So colors are interesting. There's been a lot of talk about the color scheme this year.
Yes.
Last year it was what, orange and
blue, I
blue?
Think.
Yeah. So this year it's like a purple and like pink or purple and salmon or that sort of mm-hmm. thing. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If I was doing it, which I'm definitely not, I wouldn't be thrilled about
yeah.
the colors of kind of the official merchandise that has been released. Yeah, I wish they would just go with traditional blue and gold.
Yeah.
Kind of, but they do change the colors up every year. So.
Right. Which I guess is cool if you're doing it every year or several years in a row and are buying the merchandise.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the idea. Get right. you to exactly. buy another one every time.
Yeah. I did see some funny comments about it, though. You know, people were saying, like, oh, I don't know about the colors. And somebody's like, they could put a logo on a trash bag and I'd buy it. So,
if I was doing Boston, I would.
Yeah.
Well, I know last year a lot of people weren't a fan of the bright orange. Mm-hmm. A lot of people refer to it as almost construction or traffic safety orange type of color, which at first I thought it was very weird, but I ended up kind of liking it as time went on, as I saw it throughout the year at more races following Boston. So I actually think I liked last year's better than this year, but whatever.
Yeah. I think I'm going to like whichever one I have.
I think you're going to love it no matter what. So
exactly. So that was my long-winded week in training. How was your week?
My week was very quiet and low-key. So
low-key? I don't know why that just made me think of. Okay. That has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. So, you know, coming off of that last trail half marathon, I said my knee was giving me problems. So I kind of went into rest and recovery mode and kind of went back to doing some of the stretches and exercises that I learned in physical therapy almost a year and a half now. So I've been doing that basically every day. And so up until Hot Chocolate, I only did one short run before the race just to kind of feel out the leg and see how it went. And it felt really good for about 2 miles, and then it gave me a little bit of problem, but I was still, you know, was going to be what it was, whatever it was going to be. I was still going to do the race no matter what. Interesting, like being on my standing all day actually hurts my leg as much as anything else at this point. Cause Saturday I was at home doing a bunch of projects and stuff, and I was kind of standing all day and working all day, and I was actually up and down a ladder, and that screws up my knee probably more than anything. So, so really it was just one run and then the race, and that was it. So pretty boring week, I guess. So,
yeah, and we'll talk a little boring, bit. But
we'll talk about the race at the end, I guess. Yeah. So, all right, where are we going to now?
So sorry to cut you off, but so this weekend we did the Hot Chocolate 15K in San Francisco. A couple of other things that were going on were the First Light Marathon, the Mississippi Blues Marathon, which I know a lot of people did it as double, and then I was reading the next line, but that wasn't part of the first line.
Well, that leads into New York City.
Yeah. New York City Marathon lottery registration opened today.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a long sentence. Yeah. So for those of you trying to get in through the lottery for the marathon, New York City Marathon this year, it is open. I'm not sure when it closes. I didn't look at that specifically since I'm not putting my name in the hat this year. So
neither am I. And I know it's an awesome race and we're definitely going to get to it at some point.
For sure.
Several people have encouraged us that we have to go do it. And we're going to get there at some point, but it won't be this year. So.
Yeah.
All right. So should we move on to a little bit of a topic here?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about kind of taking control of your running health, kind of some ways to stay on the road and perhaps out of the doctor's office.
Hopefully.
Which is weird because I had a whole conversation with friends of mine this morning talking about health insurance. Could you possibly have a more boring conversation? I don't think there is one when you're talking about different types of health insurance, but that's the conversation I had this morning. So just had to throw that in because it was really weird.
That'd be a sign of aging. But now you have conversations with friends about health plans and health insurances.
It's also a sign how complicated health insurance
that is true
can be. Because, you know, this is actually the time of year where everybody has open enrollments and stuff like that. That's kind of how the conversation gets started. But I'm kind of going down a random tangent here. So let's bring it back on track.
But that's interesting. Speaking of open enrollment.
Okay.
Like, this is the time of year that I don't have open enrollment. Mine's like in November, which is kind of an odd time.
Yeah, they tend to be usually from November through February.
Okay.
Is when kind of the bulk of companies and businesses do it. Okay, so I guess
mine's towards the beginning of that window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my company, we're actually dealing with all that next week. So, All right, let's get back to running.
But having nothing to do with running.
Well, if you run long enough,
it's not that it doesn't
you do
have
end up
to
with some
with.
Type of injury that sticks you in the doctor's office at some point in time. So,
yeah.
And it was relevant to my conversation because I was actually talking about these people I was talking about health insurance with. We were kind of talking about experiences and they're asking me how, with kind of like dealing with running injuries in the past, what my experience was with my doctors and went through. So it's kind of relative, but I'm not going to go into all that. So, so kind of basing this off an article that actually has 10 keys to kind of staying out of the doctor's office. We're not going to go through all of them because we kind of picked the five that we felt most strongly about and agreed with and thought were the most interesting. So we're going to run through kind of five of these.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Sure. So the first one is respect the need for rest. And I think just historically I've had trouble with this. So leading cause of injuries, experts agree, are training errors. For example, like overtraining, or just doing, trying to do too much, you know, like whether it's too many miles, when we're talking about running specifically, running too many miles, ramping up your mileage too quickly, or trying to bring down your pace too quickly, or then doing both, you know, working on increasing mileage and getting faster, you know, just kind of doing it all at the same time. One thing that was interesting that I hadn't thought about was that it's also important to realize that stress is stress, whether it's from like physical stress that you're putting on your body in terms of running or other workouts, but also if it's stress from like a new job, a new relationship, or they even mention a baby who won't sleep through the night. It says you, all of these you have to recover from. And I'm thinking, but how do you really recover from, I mean, some of these are life events, you know, right. And you want to, I would think if you're running, most people would want to run when these things are happening anyways, but I guess maybe you try to dial back.
I don't know, but running's kind of a way to relieve some of that stress that you're talking about. I mean, it's not going to help with lack of sleep if you have a new
right, house.
But,
exactly.
Yeah, if anything, it'll make that worse because you'll just be more tired, I would think, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And then one of the signs that you might actually be on the verge of collapse is the feeling of invincibility you have when everything is going perfectly. It's an insidious sense you can start getting away with things, which that kind of makes sense. Like if you think like, oh, I can do anything. I can, you know, race this weekend and race that weekend or, you know, do this crazy mileage and I can even run faster. And then it's like, okay, something's going to give at some point if you feel invincible and think you are invincible.
Yeah. Sometimes when you reach that peak.
Yeah.
It's when kind of disaster tends to
strike. Right. Like there is a peak. It's.
Yeah. At some point in time.
Right.
I mean, that happens to a lot of people. I mean, it was funny because we were kind of talking, somebody we know actually who's been having a great, I think, last year, 2 years, getting faster, doing lots of running, has actually had a pretty bad stress fracture, which, you know, maybe a sign that they needed to take more rest.
Right.
During a period of time here.
Yeah.
Or maybe shouldn't have pushed too hard. And it was funny because we were having the conversation. I was like, oh, you know, they're at races all the time. I see them racing all the time at races we do. And then I was like, oh my God, I see them at the same races. I mean, we're racing just as much as this person.
Right.
That can't be a good sign. You know what I'm saying? So,
but at least it made you look at your own, you know, like what you're doing.
Right.
Kind of evaluate.
I mean, I'm
like,
not
okay.
running enough mileage for me to have that kind of issue.
But, no, but it still made you think about it.
Yeah. I just got a good laugh out of the fact that, you know, this is perhaps somebody that needs to maybe take a little bit more rest. I mean, I'm not detailed really to know about their exact training plans, mm-hmm. but just seeing at races all the time, and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm seeing them at races, which means I'm at the same race.
Yeah.
Yep. So maybe I should be racing less, type of thing. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I think our year has been kind of front loaded with races, and then there's kind of
this
nothing.
Coming year.
No, the year that we're in right now.
Oh yeah, 2015.
Yeah, right.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of interesting because we're here halfway through January, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I have a single race on this schedule for February.
I don't either.
And I'm still very much in limbo about what to tackle for the entire year. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I was trying to think about my calendar as well. So, yeah, I don't really have anything in February at all. And I mean, other than that, I'm kind of set through April. But beyond that, it's kind of just a blank calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Moving on. So, number two on our list here, walk or lunge before you run. So, often the most dangerous step is the first one. So start your warm up very slow. Sometimes we say, you know, start with walking, then it's a good time to kind of move into shuffling until you kind of really get going with your running.
Mm-hmm.
Studies have pretty much shown that pre-workout static stretching can be detrimental to you. But maybe a short routine of dynamic stretches can loosen and activate your muscles without the downside of static stretching. So a few ways to do that, you know, you can do some high steps, some leg swings, some skipping. People kind of do all kind of dynamic types of things. We actually talked a long time ago. If you listen to Jay Johnson, who's a running coach, actually recommends, he has a series of lunges that he does or recommends to runners. It's kind of lunges in several different planes. So it's kind of, you're doing forward lunges, sideways lunges, backwards lunges. That's, I know, Jay Johnson's favorite way to do it. I actually like the lunge thing. I've done that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been super dedicated to doing that, but I think it's a good way to kind of get your body ready to run.
Yeah. And I think in terms of just training runs, I think I've gotten better with starting off slower, but I'm pretty bad at that with races, and I probably need to do better, you know, to prevent an injury happening mid-race,
mm-hmm.
especially since I tend to run faster during races than training runs. probably not a bad idea to do something in terms of a warm up beforehand if I'm not going to take it slow at the beginning.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, when it comes to races, I'm super dedicated to
you are
warming up.
I know
it's my thing.
Right, and that's like one thing that I'm super not. Actually, I'm super dedicated to not warm up pre race, which is not something to be.
It's funny because we did this hot chocolate race this weekend, and we went out there with friends and stuff, and I did the same thing that I do in a lot of races when it's, you know, closing into the start of the race. I just basically disappear and, you know, I'll see you guys later. And I usually take off and go do some type of warming up.
Yeah.
You know, I'll jog for a little bit, do some leg swings. I really don't do lunges at races, but that's more of a training run thing. But I definitely like to go kind of get the body, just get it moving a little bit,
yeah,
and warm up. So I'm super dedicated to that before the race. You often see me disappear off to some side street, you
yep
know, at bigger races looking for a spot to do that. So. All right, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, keep a training log. Something that could be a pain to do, could be annoying, could be a lot of work, depending how you look at it. But, you know, it's kind of look at it as a hard discipline, but it's could be extremely helpful in the long run. So in terms of before you have issues, you can definitely look at, you know, if you have a log that gives you good information, whether you can look at graphs, you can see trends that might involve your mileage, your pace, how much rest you're doing, and kind of maybe use that as a way to prevent yourself from getting into
mm-hmm
some problems, specifically with overtraining. I think it's
right
the easiest thing to do. It's certainly helpful after the fact.
I was going to say that. Or if you kind of didn't pay attention to it, but still kept a training log
mm-hmm
and then an injury occurred, you could always look back and even try to prevent it in the future.
Yeah, I think the first thing that people do that they have training logs is, you know, you get injured or you have an issue, you immediately go back to that log and, you know, what did I do the last 3 weeks? And did I do something different? Did I run faster, more mileage? You know, did I... You know, what was it? Was it a shoe thing? You know, you start looking for those answers. But
right
you can see some of that beforehand if you're diligent and kind of looking for that before.
Yeah.
And now these days, keeping a running log is so much easier than it was 10 years ago. There's so many different ways to do it, specifically, you know, whether you're on like Daily Mile or whether you're using a Garmin, you know, apps on your phone like Runkeeper, RunMeter, you know, they all feed into either other apps or websites, or even just on the app itself on your phone, you get nice graphs and charts and all kinds of different information
mm-hmm
that can, you know, it's really easy today to do that kind of
yeah
stuff, as long as you run with, I guess, some technology. I guess running with some technology is what makes it easy.
Right.
So,
because otherwise you actually have to physically log it.
Yeah. But when I think old school, I think of, you know,
like an actual journal.
Yeah. The journal
you gotta,
type
like, write
thing.
Down.
And, yeah. That I could see.
Then you
as
have to create your own graphs and
that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay, so the next one, I forgot that I was next.
Yeah.
So I was looking at you. I'm like, I'm ready. Let's move on.
Don't look at me.
So if you're laid up, practice active recovery. So injured runners generally view cross training as a way of keeping fit, but it's also a way of speeding recovery. If you think about it, actually brings a lot of blood flow, you know, to your tissues, your muscles in general, including whatever area is injured. You know, so really doing any sort of exercise that elevates your heart rate for an extended period of time, not running though, if you're, mm-hmm. you know, not supposed to be running, if you're supposed to be taking a break from running because there's some sort of injury, still doing something and not just, I guess, like not resting, like just in bed, you know, not bed rest for most common injuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously there's going to be some exceptions there, but, anything you want to add to that? Okay. So the next one is if something hurts, take prompt action. Runners too often get hurt worse or stay injured longer because of denial.
Yeah, we like to ignore problems.
Yeah,
though.
Like, it's just going to get better, so, you know. So many injuries can actually heal quickly if treated in the first 24 to 72 hours. And that could range from like using ice, using some sort of anti-inflammatory, foam rolling or something else, you know, similar to that. And really kind of focusing on reducing the inflammation and really getting on it early on, which I think me speaking just personally, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not really an injury. It's just a little something that I tweaked today, but mm-hmm. really maybe if I had addressed it right then and there, it wouldn't have lasted as long. So
yeah, acing early is probably as a general rule,
yeah.
just your biggest friend in kind of knocking out issues or at least improving issues immediately.
Right.
Upon discovery.
Yeah. And then coming back slowly too, that's really important. Yeah. So avoid the temptation to keep testing an injury. So don't, you know, keep poking, rubbing, standing, jumping to see if like, oh, is it still hurt? Okay. Yep. It still does. Okay. You know, like, half a day later, oh, does it still? Yep, still hurts. Okay, you know, half a day later, does it still hurt? Yep, still hurts. Yeah. So stop doing that.
Yeah, you're kind of looking at me, and I can tell that you want to burst out laughing because that is something I do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have something, I will I mean, half a day, I'm supposed to go half a day without testing it. You know, I'm kind of.
Yeah, you're more of like on an hourly basis.
Yeah, on an hourly basis. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, you know, is this foot better? No, no. Okay. You know, an hour later. Oh, is it better?
Is my knee still? Oh,
yeah,
but still is.
The same. And I don't know why I do that. It's just.
You're hoping you're going to get a different result.
I don't know if I think it's going to magically be better or I'm going to have some epiphany of information that.
Just by pressing on solves, it or testing
like,
it again.
I've exactly solved the issue of what this problem, pain, ache, or whatever is that, you know. But yeah, I know you wanted to laugh when you read that because.
Well, I wasn't going to call you out on it, so.
I'll call myself out on it. Okay. Yeah, I'm real bad. I'll, like you said, I'll test that every hour for sure every day. I mean, it's, you know, you kind of got to check in, make sure it's still injured or whether it's better or not.
To make sure it's still injured.
You know, I don't know really what I'm doing by that, but I'm just. Truthfully, I'm trying to assess it in some way, but I'm just assessing too often for these types of things. And I just need to kind of let something sit for a couple days. You know, if I'm resting, then rest and ice and don't try to keep doing that all the time. Not a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
And then, you know, making sure that when you make a comeback, I like this quote, it's just start once. You know, don't start back too early. Then you're going to end up having to take more time off and then you're going to be trying to come back again. So definitely take your time with it.
Yeah, we're always in a hurry to get back. We always do that as runners, I think, in general. That's our natural tend. Because, you know, we love running. We want to get back to it. So,
right, exactly.
But you kind of
sometimes too early.
Yeah. And you're just going to put yourself right back there on the sideline.
Exactly.
Again, so.
Yep.
All right. So that's some of the stuff we wanted to go through. We'll put a link in the show notes to kind of the full article that has some other suggestions that we kind of skipped over. Didn't find them the most interesting or the most helpful. Those are kind of the ones we wanted to pick out. So, but we'll put a link to kind of the full list.
And I think if anybody has anything to add.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. Chime in.
If there's something that you think is important that wasn't mentioned in the article, when you take a look at it, let us know.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the race that we just did this past weekend. We ran the Hot Chocolate 15K. In San Francisco. So we did run this race last year. It was the first time they did it in San Francisco last year.
Yeah.
So if you want maybe a more detailed account of the race, if you haven't heard it, I think that's back in episode 104 called Running for Chocolate.
Yep.
This will probably be a similar titled episode. I don't know.
This could be Running for Chocolate too.
Could be actually.
Or again.
Yeah. Still Running for Chocolate maybe.
There you go.
So we were actually going to keep it super short because we did talk about it obviously a year ago, but I decided to kind of talk a little bit about it in more detail just because this is a national race series. So there could be one near you. Mm-hmm. And so, which I think kind of makes it more relative than us talking about maybe a local race again, that for, you know, 99% of our listeners aren't necessarily super local to be able to do the race.
Right.
So that's kind of why we're going to go a little bit into it. I do want to just mention, in case it is relative to you, their locations as they do the race. They do it in Atlanta, Austin, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Denver, Las Vegas, Minneapolis, Nashville, Philadelphia. Let me take a breath. Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, and St. Louis.
Okay.
So that's the list of locations right off their website. Obviously in the U.S. only.
That's a lot of S's.
Yeah, there's four of them down at the bottom. I think the one in Austin, which I didn't realize, I was just reading before we started recording, is the frozen hot chocolate. So I guess because Texas is a hot climate.
Yeah.
They do kind of more of the cold chocolate than the hot chocolate.
Right.
So I found that interesting and I didn't realize that until about 40 minutes ago. So learning something every day. What do we want to talk about? I did want to start. It was interesting because we did this race last year and we were pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
And had a lot of fun and we liked it. I think we kind of gave it the two thumbs up, if you want to
call
it that. And last year I had super low expectations for the race. Mainly because I had heard a lot about one of their races on, the East Coast, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that had issues and had problems. So that and kind of it being a race series in San Francisco, I just had low expectations last year. So I ended up being very pleasantly surprised with how everything went. And I was very curious for myself personally what I would think about the race this year because I was obviously coming back to it with higher expectations. I expected it to at least be the same or similar to last year. So I kind of came into it with that mentality. Let me start with that and then we'll kind of go through the whole thing. I actually
didn't want to get ahead of yourself, huh?
Didn't want to get ahead of myself. I actually went, we carpooled out to the race with a bunch of people on race day, which was on a Sunday, right? I actually went and did packet pickup for everybody on the Friday. Which was nice because they do allow you to pick up packets for other people. So I picked up five in total. It was super easy. no problems. I didn't have to bring, I had to just bring everybody's confirmation. And then the way they do it is you just scan the QR code off the confirmation email. And what they do is they actually pull, they don't assign your BIB numbers in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have stacks of BIBs there and they scan your confirmation email QR code. They scan a QR code off the BIB. That's essentially a blank BIB. And it basically associates the two, assigning that BIB number to the runner.
Yeah.
And then they print a little tag that has your name and your corral assignment. So it's kind of nice because when I went to the expo, I didn't have to go to a specific table or location or anything. You can kind of just go to any table because they're going to, you know, there's no, you don't have to go like BIB 5,000 through 6,000.
Right.
6,000,
or based
6,000,
on last name or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of like the way they do that. It makes it super easy and super fast. So I didn't have to wait in line or figure out where I was going. I just walked up to a guy and told him I had five. And we just kind of banged them out one at a time and it was pretty quick. So the expo was a little bit bigger than last year. I didn't go last year. You did.
But yeah.
You said it was like couple booths, if that.
I wouldn't, yeah.
That might be.
I wouldn't. No, I honestly, in terms of description, I wouldn't call it an expo.
Okay.
You know, like
it was just pack and pickup.
Yeah, yeah, with like, you know, one or two other little companies that were there, you know, promoting their product and that sort of thing. So, and then I didn't go this year, but from the pictures I've seen and from what you've told me, it did seem like an expo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely booths there, and you can buy official race merchandise if you would like it, and, you know, some samples from vendors. I know Flip Felt was there. Couple different food people, nothing really that, you know.
And they had hot chocolate, right?
And they did have hot chocolate, so there I got to have some hot chocolate at the expo, which was good. And the hot chocolate was super good.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. I did get a little candy bar. A little candy bar might be saying too much. A little small piece of chocolate before I went in. But yeah, other than that, I was just in there really quick, just picked up the stuff. You do get for running the race a, what do we call this, a jacket or sweatshirt?
I don't know. I guess
it's a zip-up sweatshirt,
yeah.
I think is probably the most accurate.
Yeah, hooded.
Hooded. It was the one thing they did that was kind of unique is you get when you go to pick it up, it's in a drawstring bag, a colorful one that's you know, says hot chocolate and stuff like that, and then the sweatshirt's already inside and all the sweatshirts are still wrapped in plastic. So kind of after you pick up that, they have a couple tables at the end where I forgot what they called it specifically, but it's basically to try on the sweatshirts. So they have them out on the table, the different sizes. They had women's on one side, men's on the other side, and you could try them on. So you could actually not have to take your sweatshirt out of your bag. You didn't have to rip open the plastic at the expo or anything. You could just try one of those on, and if it didn't fit, they allowed you to switch the size, and if it fit, then you're good and you can just kind of continue
then
on your way.
Yeah.
So I went over there, I just tried on my size and it fit fine, so I didn't have to rip out the plastic or open it up or pull it out of the bag or anything like that. So that's actually super easy. You know, normally you're not getting shirts or jackets that are, you know, wrapped in plastic and put in the bag type of thing.
Right, it's just a shirt.
It's not relative, but for the way they do it, it actually works out pretty well. So just want to mention that kind of stuff in the expo because I think it was pretty well done. No race day pickup, so you had to go to the expo either on the Friday or Saturday to pick everything up. So did I miss anything on that?
I don't think so, although I didn't go to the expo. So
okay,
I would have known that you... no.
Okay. So moving on, the one thing about this race is it starts and finishes in San Francisco at the Golden Gate Park. What they tell you is you need to, there's no parking at Golden Gate Park for the race. So you have to go to several different locations throughout the city. There was actually one across in Emeryville, California, where you have to park and then you would take a bus to the start finish area.
Basically,
you have to shuttle into this race. The shuttles aren't free.
Right.
So you have to pay for the shuttle, and then the parking in many of those locations, or all of them, was not free.
Yeah.
So you had to do that.
They do a good job of communicating all that information multiple times.
They communicated
by... So you cannot miss that.
They hit you over the head with the information because they do send you a ton of emails about the parking. You know, they say, you know, get your bus tickets, you know, figure out where you're going to park, do all that stuff. So we elected for the second year in a row to ignore that completely and just park in Golden Gate Park. I went to the exact same parking spot I had last year, and it worked out perfect. I don't think I could literally park any closer.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So yeah, if you're going to do the race and you want to know where to park, send me an email. I'll tell you exactly where to go. But I think I said that exact same thing last year.
And we weren't the only ones.
No, I mean, it's, you know,
there's,
obviously the way that
the race is... It's a public park.
Yeah.
It's open.
If everybody did that, it would be a massive problem.
Right. Not everybody would fit, period.
Not everybody would fit.
It would not work out.
You would just have to... People would just be parking in surrounding streets and end up farther and farther and farther away. So doing the parking, the official parking in the shuttle is the simplest, most straightforward way to do it. It's not the most economical in terms of price. Like I said, we went in there with a car full of five people. So for us to pay for parking and then bus tickets, you know, would have added to our cost of doing the race.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out for us just to kind of go out on our own and just park at the park, and we were fine. No issues. You know, we weren't illegally parked. We weren't breaking any rules.
No,
to do that.
Nope.
We just obviously weren't doing what the race encourages people to do.
Right.
So, okay. So what do we want to say about the race? It was very similar to last year. Actually, mm-hmm. everything was pretty much.
The course was the same.
It's actually a really nice course.
That's what I was going to say. I really like the course.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
You run through Golden Gate Park, then you go down to towards Ocean Beach. You run along the beach on the road there, not on the beach.
Yeah, not on the beach itself, but yeah. on the street, basically the Great Highway, which is right up against the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's an out and back section. So that kind of takes you out to the midway point. And then you head back towards Golden Gate Park and you kind of finish it off. It's a race of... It's a 15K, and it truly is broken up into three different 5Ks.
Yeah.
So you kind of have the first 5K is downhill out of Golden Gate Park.
Right.
And then you have kind of the middle 5K, which is along the Great Highway there, kind of along the beach, which is flat. And then you have the final 5K, which is basically running back up through Golden Gate Park for the finish line. So I will say I do like 15Ks. You know, I always talk I love about 10-milers. I do like 15Ks just because it's very... It's easily split in your head.
5K,
and on
5K,
the course.
5K.
Yeah. It's real easy to break the race into thirds.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they have markers out there, which they did. They actually had timing mats and clocks at the 5K splits. So like that, it's very easily mentally, I think, to break it up. And it's a nice distance for that. Although, obviously, not a much difference between 9.3 miles and 10
miles. That's
what
I was going to say.
Same distance.
Yeah,
but
there's not much of a difference.
Gets broken up a little bit, I think. So. But yeah, great course. We liked it. It wasn't as sunny as last year throughout the entire race.
You could still see the beach.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't so foggy.
Mm-hmm. I liked the out and back section. I got a chance to see you and some of our other friends that were out there. I think we planned things great. I think I have a picture of you taking a picture of me.
Yeah.
So,
and vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. So that's going to be an awesome picture that we took.
Actually, I was trying to take a video of you, but I was running. And so I have video of just the space in front of you. And then all of a sudden you're back. And then that's what happens.
Yeah, I actually got pictures of our other friends that were there. But I was, normally I'm a pretty good photographer out at races. And I was horrible this past weekend as well. I don't know. I barely got people in the frame of the shot.
Yeah.
So
just one of those
things. I don't know what was going on there. Yeah. So I got to work on that a little bit.
Yeah. But I do agree with the out and back section. I really like it.
Yeah,
I really,
just being
really
able
enjoy
to see
it.
People.
Being able to see people. And it's for at least a good 5K, if not a little bit longer, that you get to... you know, see people. So that's nice.
I will say they do a great job in that there's plenty of porta potties.
Oh yeah.
Before the race.
Right.
You know, there's short lines. Last year I actually had no line right before the race, but they did a great job of kind of having a lot of them and they're spread out. Interestingly enough, I think the first aid station is a mile two and there was a row of porta potties of about eight porta potties.
Yeah. Even before mile two, it's like 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when I was there, which is pretty early in the race, there was, you know, I saw one lady coming out of a porta potty, but there was no lines mainly because there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I've been to bigger races and there's two.
Right. I've been to bigger races and there's one. And it's
And you get there and there's a line of 10 people or 8 people
trying
to get in there. So it's kind of difficult. So they did do a great job with that. And then even the later aid stations, I guess.
Right. They had them for every aid station. It was just a whole row of porta potty. So people were just, I don't think I saw anybody waiting at any of them. Mm-hmm. It was just in and out.
Yeah. So they did a good job with that. They do have some treats for you out on the course. One spot is, what's the first one?
The first one is the chocolate chip station, which is right before the first aid station.
Yeah.
And so they actually had them in like little cups. Mm-hmm. I did not partake because I didn't want to be eating chocolate chips at about 1.5 miles, having what, 8.5 miles? No, I was thinking 10 miler, like several miles to go.
Okay.
So I did not take any. I actually didn't see anybody around me taking the cup for the chocolate chips, but it's nice. They have a warning for you though.
That sign. That
yeah. They have the sign that it's coming ahead and however many like 200 meters or something. And then right after that is the aid station with water and Gatorade. So at least that's timed well. So that if you do get the chocolate, like you have water right after. Mm-hmm. So
if you didn't see anybody taking chocolate chips, that just means you were not running near me because I definitely took some chocolate chips.
Oh, okay.
Tasted
were they
good.
Like regular sized chocolate chips or like little baby chocolate chips? I'm just curious.
They were kind of big round flat ones.
Interesting.
So much kind of wider in size. I've never really seen chocolate chips like that, so I kind of thought it was a little bit weird.
Big, but like nickel size?
Yeah, or? Like a nickel, like a flat nickel. Huh. Like very similar to a nickel. Actually, a nickel is flat, right? What am I saying?
Just like a nickel, but flat. Yeah. What?
Yeah, just like that, actually.
So, okay.
I'm like, I've never really seen chocolate chips like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did they have?
Were those good, by the way?
Yeah, it tasted fine.
Okay.
It's chocolate.
Right.
I mean, you can't
we
really screw
up
chocolate.
This earlier, so now I'm curious. All right, and then the next thing that they had was strawberry marshmallows. before their second aid station, which was like around mile four, just before four.
I skipped that.
I skipped that too. Okay. And I think some people were like, strawberry marshmallows? I mean, yeah. Two of their, like, I don't know what you want, not mascots, but are basically marshmallows. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why they had them there. So I maybe saw one or two people take it and then kind of spit it out at the garbage can. Not because, I mean, I can't imagine that they tasted horrible, but maybe it just wasn't the best idea
right. When
you're running. And then the next one was Tootsie Rolls just before mile six. So I did take a Tootsie Roll, mm-hmm. But I didn't eat it right then. I just put it in my pocket for later.
I did the same thing. I ate mine after the race. I don't know why. I love Tootsie Rolls, by the way.
Yeah, actually, you had mine now that I think about it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Later
Thank
that
you.
Day. So I never had it. But that was okay.
I love Tootsie Rolls. I should have taken more than one, but yeah. I only took one and threw it in my pocket. So,
right.
Yeah, huge Tootsie Roll.
I was greedy at first because they were just holding them out in their hands, right? And so I went to grab more than one and ended up with like zero. And I think I knocked some off of his hand.
Good
like,
job.
Shoot. So the next time I just went for one specifically and just got one. So, and for the marshmallows, they were wearing like gloves, mm-hmm. You know, and holding the marshmallows out. So you can come in and
all the food stuff, all the volunteers had gloves that I saw. And there was always a ton of volunteers at every aid station, and they did a fantastic job throughout the entire race.
Yep.
So kudos to them.
And they were super like peppy and
cheering.
And and then the next treat or the last treat was just before mile eight, which was the chocolate marshmallow.
Okay.
I did see a few people actually take that when I was coming through there. Mm-hmm. So I did not take one, but I know there wasn't a lot of people taking it when I was coming through there, when the volunteers were like, come on, you know you want one. And then finally when somebody took it, like all the volunteers were like, yay, took the marshmallow. You know, so they're having a good time out there. So did you take it or see anybody?
I skipped
or?
The marshmallow, and okay. I don't think anybody around me took the marshmallow when we got to it. So
So
that was all the food, right? And then post-race, mm-hmm. Everybody gets hot chocolate for sure. You get it's a little plastic, large cup bowl.
It's almost like a little fondue thing.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. And you have, comes with a marshmallow. There's hot chocolate. There's a cup of hot chocolate.
Right in the center.
Then there's just like liquid chocolate.
Right. Like fondue type chocolate, like for dipping.
Marshmallow, pretzels.
A banana.
Banana.
Which was green. Again, the last race was green. Like I forgot what it was. So I couldn't even eat that.
That
like,
tends
that
to be
day.
A problem.
So I think actually I brought it home and like it's good today. It's finally ready like today. So, pretzel, Rice Krispie treat.
Okay.
And it has a little, go ahead.
What now? To kind of clean up your hands.
Yeah, which is awesome. Or before, depending. If you're going to be dipping stuff, maybe you want to wipe your hands before. And a couple other little things that you could dip in there. I can't remember exactly
so,
what
So, I mean, it was super easy to get after the race. The one thing we didn't mention about this race is there's a 5K and there's a 15K. And they do the 5K first, which I think is pretty abnormal for races.
Yeah.
Usually you do the longer distance.
You start them off first.
Yeah. And you kind of have that theory of you're kind of putting everybody at the finish line at the same time. And that's not the case here. You're basically sending off the 5K. Is it almost 40 minutes before?
I think it was 50 minutes before.
Okay, so it's a big difference. So when we were actually walking towards the start line, there was fast 5Kers who were just already done.
Right.
So that's very different from other races. I think it's fantastic because basically what happens is, you know, we're basically taking off the 15Kers as the 5Kers, the masses of 5Kers are finishing.
Right.
So the 5Kers can finish, get all their hot chocolate, enjoy the finish line area, hang out and do all that stuff. And then, you know, they're not interfered with or crowded by all the 15Kers. Mm-hmm. And then basically they're leaving by the time the masses of 15Kers are done. So it really splits up people.
And if they're doing shuttles, there isn't like this huge backup with the 5K and the 15K trying to get the shuttles at the same time. Kind of clear out the 5K people and then...
And I think it helps with them getting all the hot chocolate.
I think so
helps
too.
Helps for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really works for this race. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just slightly different because usually, you know, races are kind of aiming to have everybody there at the same time. So this kind of breaks it up, but it's kind of nice.
You kind of need that, I think.
Although there was, you know, a lot of people there, it seemed like a smaller race than what it actually was.
Yeah.
So I like
that's
that.
That's probably why.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit to the start. They do have corrals, which we were assigned before the race. I don't even remember giving a time or anything like that.
We
had a whole conversation about that.
I think we did when we signed up on the paper.
So, you know, we went out there with five friends. Four of us were in the same corral. One of us was in a later corral. So when I picked up everybody's stuff at the expo, I actually went to go change. They did have a booth for corral changes. So I was going to try to change that friend to our corral. And I said, I talked to the guy. I said, oh, yeah, I'd like to make a corral change. He's like, okay, no problem. I can move you back. I can't move you up. I said, huh? I said, well, what's the point of that?
Right.
Because
you'll just move back if you want.
Standard etiquette at any race is you can always move back. You can't move up. So saying that I could move back or like changing me to move back seemed silly to say the least. And I did find on their website where it says, you know, if you want to run with a friend, move back to basically the furthest back corral.
Yeah.
So then I don't understand the point of having corral changes at the expo.
I don't either.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just checking about that. So no, I wanted to mention that. Yeah. At the start, we actually barely made it in our corral at the start line. So we were at the very back of the corral. Basically, we jumped in as it was moving already to the start line.
Right. Like right before they start moving the corral behind us up.
Yeah. So it was different. I was busting up laughing because we were there with friends again. And for some reason, I was ahead of everybody, meaning ahead of our little group there. And I looked, and it was just weird because there was nobody behind us.
Like, we were it.
Yeah, because the next corral was way at the back, you know, waiting for their start, which I think was 3 minute gap or something like that. And it was just, you know, I'm looking back behind us. I'm like, wow, I've never been at a race and have nobody behind me. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit weird, but it was kind of fun.
It was kind of cool, though, because it was like we had a lot of space.
Yeah. So I was kind of joking around and acting a fool back there. But thankfully, nobody could see me anyway. Yeah. So it all worked out. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Anything else?
Yeah, we probably should have left more time to walk up to the corral. I don't think we realized
it was a long
the size
walk.
Of the corrals. Yeah. And actually, a lot of the corrals, they were lettered, and a lot of them actually said no walkers on there, too. So
yeah, I think yeah, they all say no no walkers except for the
last
very
one, I think.
Last one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, it worked out okay. Yeah, we should have gone. Yeah. We just should have just walked to the start line a little bit sooner. We kind of left it to the end.
We thought it was going to be closer. Which doesn't make sense because it was the same thing last year. Or not exactly the same thing, but we kind of left a little late again last year. So
it's one of those, as time passes, you know, these little details kind of fade from memory.
Right.
So we can catch up on it now, I guess. Anything else we want to talk about? One thing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did actually, if anybody listened to our last or the episode about this last time, where you were talked about seeing a bison.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I saw him this time, but you reminded me and warned me and
I told everybody
like, hey, it's around this. And it ended up being like maybe a half a mile later, but I was definitely looking. And at first, cause I think you said it was like at mile seven or something and it was like closer to eight, but I was looking and I was like, okay, there's no way I could have missed bison. Like, you know, like where would they have been? There's no way. And then finally it's like this huge field.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really missed the bison last year. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the field, but I don't remember seeing any animals in there. So I completely missed them last time. But that was kind of cool.
What we're talking about is just in Golden Gate Park, they have a section or, you know, almost like you would have a zoo where it's just basically a small field where they have bison in the park. So it's kind of something unique. You don't see that in San Francisco often, right?
Exactly. Hardly ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did I want to mention? The one thing they had this year that was kind of cool was they had these little post-race as we're hanging around the little park there. They had little stations that had the sign. What did it say? Enjoy, then take home.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was basically
enjoy it and then take home. Yeah.
They just had little plastic bags.
Yeah.
Kind of like you would put fruit in at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Just cheap plastic
like the produce bags.
And the idea for that was just to be able to put that, you know, that cup that you got your hot chocolate and goodies post-race, that when you were done, you know, it's kind of covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
That you have a little plastic bag that you can throw it into
and take it home. Yep.
Because I know last year we had the issue of, we were kind of throwing them in the back of the car and trying not to make a mess in the back of the car because we didn't have bags or anything to put it in.
Yeah, we didn't really come prepared for it.
Yeah. So I didn't see that last year at all, and I'm pretty sure they didn't have it, but that was kind of a nice little bonus for this year. Just kind of made it a little cleaner to take stuff home.
Mm-hmm.
The other big difference this year is we got medals.
Yeah.
So last year there was no medals.
Right.
So we got a 15K medal.
Yeah.
No medal for the 5K though, right?
No, just for the 15K race.
It's actually a very cool looking medal. Looks like a chocolate bar that's had a bite taken out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has something about San Francisco on there, right?
Something.
I can't remember.
It has the name. It has San Francisco on there. And then also has a trolley car and then the Golden Gate Bridge in the background.
Okay. Yeah, she's showing it to me right now. I can confirm.
Okay.
We can, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. So, although the somebody had commented that the chocolate part of it looks more like caramel. Because it's kind of light in color. But I really like the metal. It's cool. And I like that it's something specific like to San Francisco. Like it doesn't, like in terms of having the trolley car and the Golden Gate Bridge, like it doesn't just say 2015 hot chocolate 15K San Francisco and have like the same, like just plain chocolate bar.
Right.
I like the fact that it's unique to the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should mention the sweatshirts that we get are not city specific, I guess you could
say. Yeah.
So I'm assuming they use that same sweatshirt for all their races, nothing on it that says San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah, we also got a hat because we used a special code to register. It's like one of their promotions.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a little hat that said something about chocolate.
Yeah, I think like we'll run for chocolate
or something like that. So that was cool. So you get a few little goodies.
Yeah, and it was like a good quality hat.
Yeah, the hat was fine.
Something that I could totally run in.
Mm-hmm. The medal was good. you know, no complaints
nice.
There. Sweatshirt. I mean, it's funny. I tried mine on at the expo for the sizing thing, like I was describing. The one I actually brought home is still wrapped in plastic sitting in the corner. So I haven't even opened it up. So hopefully there's no quality issues, but I don't expect any. So, and then the sweatshirts were, men's and women's were different. Men's were green. Women's had pink as kind of like a highlight color on
them. Right.
They're gray, but the little highlight color on them was those specific colors.
Yeah. I think last year men's was the highlight color was blue, and the women was like purple.
Purple, yeah. Yeah. Anything else about the race we should talk about? I do want to mention the numbers while you think of if there's anything else.
Yeah, good.
To give you an idea of the size, the 5K was 4,600 people. The 15K was 7,800 people. So the 5K was bigger than I thought, but obviously we didn't see it.
Yeah.
Kind of have any clue what was going
right.
on. To have almost 8,000 people in the 15K, I don't know. It's hard to say what it felt like. It didn't feel like there was 8,000 people, but we were in an early corral.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we definitely got out there before a lot of people. You definitely see tons of people on the turnaround.
Yeah, on the out and back, there's a lot of people. You see a lot of people.
Now, interestingly enough, I did actually had to go calculate it by hand, but the percentage of men and women, this race is 76% female. And it's 76% female for both the 15K and the 5K.
So 5K, 15K, and overall.
And overall.
Yeah.
So I was actually shocked that they just were the exact same percentages.
Yeah.
So when we were out there doing the race, I didn't really... I mean, you can obviously tell looking around, there's a lot more women than men, but it really didn't occur to me in any way.
That it'd be like
day.
76%.
Well, it just, I didn't think about it or pay any attention to it on race day for some reason. I didn't even think to myself like, oh, there's a lot of women here. Or, you know, this is, you know, a high percentage of women doing this race. It just mm-hmm. didn't occur to me on race day. It was just something I noticed post-race. I actually noticed it when I was looking at results and kind of saw my number out of how many. And I was like, that's a really low number of men that did the 15K, and then that's when I started looking at the total numbers for the race, and then, you know, and then oh wow, you know, it's 76% female. That's crazy. So and there's I don't really know why, other than does the hot chocolate thing just appeal to women more? I don't know.
I'm gonna go with yes.
Yeah
I know that's a complete generalization, but I'll say yeah. The only thing that I thought about was results were up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have a cool feature on their results website when you look up your individual result that they have like a video clip of the general time when you'd be coming across the finish line. So you actually can see yourself coming across the finish line mm-hmm. on that video clip. So,
yeah. So, I mean, overall, I actually had a lot of fun. Being there with friends made it especially, you know, I think funner than had I just been there by myself or just me and you even. Just kind of having a group of people made it fun. But I think I said at the top, like, I was worried about having higher expectations and how I would feel about it. So to address that, it totally met my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if anything, I think exceeded my expectations because I did like the medal. And we didn't have that last year. So
right.
That was a pretty cool thing. And everything else, you know, transportation turned out to be easy. So met my expectations. Pretty happy with the race. I definitely recommend it. You know, obviously we can't address other cities and what their courses are like.
Yeah. I really like this course, though.
Yeah.
I would love to run those 9 miles like any day.
Yeah. It's a very nice run.
Yeah.
So in terms of organization, how everything went, you know, it's very good. Very well done in San Francisco. Hopefully they're doing similar stuff across the country.
Mm-hmm. Volunteers were great. I know said it before, but not, you know, despite like, I mean, not even just at aid stations, but post race, you know, with the medals, with the chocolate, everything. They're just really, really, really good mm-hmm. job with the volunteers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I said for me personally, you know, we've done this 2 years in a row. You know, I don't like to repeat races year after year after year. There's not too many races that I think I want to repeat every year and every year. You know, if we get a group of friends to kind of all go as a group next year, I would probably go back. If our friends that did it this year don't want to go back, or I don't have any new friends to kind of go out there and, you know, carpool out there and do that type of thing, I would probably skip it just because I did it 2 years, but I think it's still a fun race. But if we get a group together to go out there, I'll probably be back out there next year. It's January, so there's not a lot going on
mm-hmm.
in terms of races at, you know, this time, at least in NorCal, really. I mean, I can't think of it really. Anything else that
happened
this
weekend? Well,
there's
always trail races, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
But if you want to stay on the road.
But it's
talking
about road. Yeah.
All right. Anything else on this one before we wrap it up?
Nope. That's it.
All right. Cool. Let's move on. Do we want to wish some people good luck? Because they're going to be at the same race we are this coming weekend.
Yeah. At the Disneyland Star Wars Half Marathon weekend.
Yeah. And I think there might be some people who might be listening to this while they run that race. So if
possibly.
You're out there...
Look around. Do you see us? Do you see us? So Heather, Todd, Patricia, Raymond, Kathy. And there may be more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're out
those
there,
are the ones we know for sure.
If you're running it right now, have fun. Take some pictures.
Right.
Enjoy it. We're going to be out there. We're doing the Rebel Challenge. We're doing the 10K. and the half marathon.
Are you sure? Like, oh. You sure that's what you're doing?
Yeah, I had the hot chocolate 5K, 15K oh, okay. thing in my head. So I'm like, 15K doesn't sound right, yeah. but that's what I was going to say. And then we'll be out at the expo on Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Afternoon, maybe early evening. Yeah, probably. Around that time.
I think I'll be at the expo at 4. We'll be there at 4 o'clock. I'm just guessing, but that's the plan. So if you're going to be at the race and you hear this in time,
yeah.
If you're there, shoot us some. You know, message on Twitter or email or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look
Facebook,
for you.
Facebook, something. Yeah,
even
yeah.
before the race, after the race, whatever.
Right. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the race, mm-hmm. the Rebel Challenge and all that stuff. And next week, we'll obviously have a big race recap on everything with that. I have some thoughts going into the race and about certain aspects of it. And we'll kind of see afterwards.
And I'll have to brush up on my Star Wars knowledge so I don't make a complete fool of myself. You know, talking about it next week.
I will help you.
Or I'll just avoid that part of it.
All right, let's get to a little feedback.
Message received.
So we heard from Rich, who was letting us know about Garmin Connect. I was just going to rename that whole thing. Garmin Connect apparently has a section for adding gear. So in our case, particularly shoes. So you could actually, you know, put in there like when you bought the shoes, you can enter multiple pairs, how many miles you consider them worn out, and then when. You know, it's basically time to retire it based on mileage. So maybe something that I look into when I get a new Garmin and if I start using Garmin Connect. So it's mm-hmm. kind of cool to be able to keep track, in that way. Yeah, I mean, I just haven't looked at that at all. He also ran a CIM actually, just this past month. That's just a month ago, huh? Yeah, a month ago, with his sister, and he had a great experience, which was enhanced by having listened to our previous podcasts about CIM. So yeah. Glad we were able to help. And I guess the main difference was you had way better weather
way
than
better
we did. So, but that's good. I'm glad it didn't like pour on you or anything when you were here.
He probably listened to us complaining about the weather, and you
right.
know,
he's like, what are they talking
then he did the
about?
Race, and yeah, and, well,
yeah,
no, it's
it
a
is
nice
not
day.
That cold. Yeah. Heard from Beth. Let us know that we helped her get through a goofy training, and actually completed the goofy challenge this weekend. So congratulations on that. Also, letting us know that there were pictures that were being taken at the Disney World Disney World Marathon Weekend. I'm like changing the name too. Something new that Disney's kind of doing for their challenges is taking pictures of the people that are registered, I guess, when they pick up their bibs mm-hmm. For the challenges specifically. I guess trying to avoid having people split up the challenges mm-hmm. and having multiple people run the entire challenge. Like, for example, having somebody do the half marathon and somebody else do the marathon for the Goofy Challenge. So I think that's something that they're trying to incorporate into more of their races. Doing the Rebel Challenge this weekend, we haven't received any information specifically about that being done. But looking through the guide and the floor plan, I did see a little spot for Rebel Challenge photos. So we'll mm-hmm. see what happens with that.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was alluding to in the back of my head about this coming race. So I don't know if they're doing the pictures for the challenges, and I don't know how I feel about that. In general, I might have big opinions on that, but I'm going to save that till after Rebel Challenge
to
see if they actually do it and then kind of give my opinion on that. But I'm kind of curious about that experience and whether it's worth kind of making people go through kind of. Mm-hmm. So
right. Yeah. Also heard from Dave, who's going to be out at the Modesto Marathon, half marathon. His wife will actually be running the half. He also shared some pictures of us from the medals at Disney World, the half marathon medal, courtesy of his wife, and then the marathon medal, which he received. He actually got a marathon PR there, which was his one goal for 2015, mm-hmm. was getting a marathon PR. So
done.
Now that he's achieved it, might be looking into a new goal.
Or just pack it in and call it a year.
Yeah, just
11
months. Don't run again.
Don't run again.
You're 11 done.
Months. 11 months of rest
there you go.
Is the prescription, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And we did post pictures of those medals on our Instagram account, and they will get added onto our website probably
if you
in the next
take a
week
look.
Or two. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we posted both places. So also heard from Carol, who's asking about what run logs we use.
Yeah, we always get questions about the run log.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of still go old school and use the old David Hayes Excel. It's an old Excel file that's our running log. So I know over the last couple of years, we've actually emailed it to several people, and it works good for us, but it's kind of an old school way of doing it. I think at some point, I'm just going to put it up on the website so people can just download it maybe at some point.
That's not a bad idea.
But that's still my favorite running log, although it's kind of weird to be, you know, pulling some Excel. I don't even know what it is at this point. Excel 95 file. I have no idea.
It still works for me.
Works great.
I kind of picture it as like one step up from having to like write everything down.
Yeah.
You know, so you're just entering it there. So, but it works great. And I actually like the graphs there, even though I'm not a huge graph person. I like the graphs, and I know you do. So,
yep.
Heard from Lee, who is wasting no time this year and has shared his mantra for 2015. So here we go. If anybody wants to borrow it if it's okay with Lee. 2015 has only lived once, so let's get going. There's no time to waste.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, keep going. I like that.
Maybe I should have a mantra for 2015. I haven't thought about it. Okay. Also heard from Dale, who's also doing a streak this year. He's actually doing a running streak, minimum of 1 mile per day. And he's actually going for 2015 miles this year. So about, 250 more than last year?
Mm-hmm.
So
a little bit of a jump.
Yeah.
Progression.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that catches up on the feedback. Before we get out of here, the one thing we completely skipped over, and I'm kind of going to go back to the hot chocolate. Anything you want to say about your personal race? Because the only thing I was going to say is my knee ended up feeling way better than I feared during the race. And I actually ran the race 6 minutes faster than last year. So
yeah, that's worth mentioning.
I was strangely fearful of my knee going in, and it did give me a little bit of a problem with the hills that come at 7 and 8.
Yeah, although they weren't as long or as steep as I remember them being last year. Yeah. And maybe it's because last year I wasn't prepared for them, and this year I was like, oh, there's hills, you know, and then you're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and last year I was trying to run a really fast 10K split, and somehow this year I ran the entire race 6 minutes faster and actually beat my 10K split from last year.
And so, were you going for a 10K split this time, or no?
To be honest, I was just keeping up with a fast friend who still ended up beating me by 2 minutes, but I tried keeping up. Don't tell them, though. But I was trying to keep up with them. But yeah, I ended up feeling much better than I thought I would. So, I mean, you know, it still kind of hurt at the end, but I'm very happy with it. So I'll see what happens at Rebel this weekend. Yeah. So, I mean, is there anything from your race?
I mean, mine wasn't as good as yours. Yeah. No major problems. I definitely ran it slower. I think I ran it like 3 minutes slower than last year, but I'm not surprised I didn't push as hard, and my fitness just isn't where it was at this time last year. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our disorganized conclusion to the race. We totally skipped over that.
Right. Yeah, we did. But I had fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So yeah, that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, we'll be at Rebel Challenge, and we'll have the wrap up. We just saw what the shirts are like, so unfortunately they're long sleeve, but yeah.
And unisex.
Yeah, we'll complain about that next.
That'll be my thing. is the unisex.
So yeah, but it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It is the MLK weekend, so for I know a lot of people that's a holiday. So
yep.
So we'll catch up on all that next week.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.